Vaccines may offer hope that certain aspects of life might return to normal, but researchers warn that mental health repercussions of the past year will be long-lasting. The U.S. Census Bureau documented a 31% increase in the number of people who reported symptoms of anxiety or depression from 2019 to 2020. The conversation's Savannah Harriman-Pote spoke with Oahu psychologist Cecily Sakai about how people are managing one type of anxiety, hypochondria, or anxiety about health.
Hypochondriasis used to be a term used clinically, and now when we think about the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, what we actually talk about these days is known as somatic symptom disorder or illness anxiety disorder. But basically, it's similar to what we would call hypochondriasis in the past, where somatic symptom disorder is really when we experience things happening in our body. So we might have a headache, we might get a sore throat, we might have back pain, we might feel nauseous. So we experience these things somatically, and we then believe there's something wrong with us because of those somatic complaints. Whereas the second disorder, illness anxiety disorder, is where there may not actually be somatic symptoms present, but a person might be really consumed with reading up about what does nausea in the body mean. Oh, that could mean I might have cancer of the liver, or I might have some other medical condition. And so again, there's not a somatic complaint, but there's an illness that the individual believes they have.
So particularly looking at that second class of diagnosis that you specified there, where people aren't responding to a symptom in their body, what would be a trigger for that kind of deep delve into this medical knowledge?
This pandemic could be a huge trigger for developing illness anxiety disorder. So just believing that you have COVID because it is very widespread. And this is where, you know, both could be true with either somatic symptom disorder or illness anxiety disorder. Illness anxiety, just believing that, okay, I was out at the store, I know we have high rates of COVID, or I'm watching the news all the time, I'm hearing about it all the time. So it seems like it's very present, and it may just be something that we become consumed by because, again, it's very much so in the news, it's in the paper, we're hearing about it all the time. So we may develop this idea that I must have COVID. And then again, in the opposite sense, it might be I went to the grocery store, I touched all these fruits to make sure I'm getting the one that I want. 2 hours later, I'm at home, I washed my hands really well, but now I'm starting to feel a little tired and I have a little tickle in my throat. That must mean that I probably developed COVID when I was out at the store.
So I guess my question is then, because it's very difficult to avoid all of these different stimuli that come from the pandemic, and people are encouraging us to be hyper-conscientious to keep ourselves and other people safe. I think everyone has probably had, at some point in this pandemic, a thought about their behavior and question whether or not it was safe or if there could have been a concern of transmission there. At what point do those pinpricks of anxiety start to look like something more serious, start to look like something that might need to be addressed?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think it's one that comes up a lot, you know, for clients that I have or just people in general, wondering kind of, am I allowed to worry about these things? Because again, this, we are in a time of a pandemic, so these are very real issues and health concerns. Clinically, for some of these disorders, there are timelines, like having to have symptoms for more than 6 months, thinking about it for the majority of the time, having it impact your functioning. Psychologically, we think about how much is this happening for a person, and also are they able to continue on and function in their life? So maybe I do have a passing thought of, oh, shoot, did I develop COVID, or Maybe, you know, I'm starting to get a worsening of symptoms overnight. I'm going to stay home from work. Maybe I should go and get a test if it's available for me. And again, I think in a lot of ways that falls within normal range. A lot of people have these anxieties. With the pandemic, it's really hard to differentiate, am I developing health anxiety or am I not, when there is a real threat present. And so again, I think what we think about clinically is, how is this impacting an individual's functioning? If someone is bordering more on having health anxiety, it's a real preoccupation throughout the day, not being able to rest, not being able to let up thoughts about these symptoms. Even when getting a negative COVID test, still believing that, well, there are false negatives out there. Maybe I need to go back 3 more times and get additional tests.
Have more people come forward during the pandemic, specifically seeking treatment for health anxiety?
Interestingly, I you know, I can't speak for every hospital and every private practice out there, but I think either in my conversations with other clinicians or even just in my own practice, what I've noticed is an exacerbation of symptoms for people who previously have some sort of anxiety, but I have actually not seen an increase in people coming in being worried about getting COVID. When people may not have had health anxiety but are living with someone who might have health anxiety, there is more conversation or more preoccupation around these sorts of anxieties, because I think it's just more present within the household. And so people who may not have had health anxiety start thinking about it more or are impacted by it more, having to clean the counters, having to make sure the groceries are washed really well or that everything is cooked. Kind of these sorts of preoccupations come up because they're actually living with someone who has extreme sorts of symptoms that fall in line with health anxiety.
For those who had been managing health anxiety beforehand, I imagine that this state of the world can be crippling. The line is blurry right now in terms of what derives from health anxiety and what is a needed level of caution. And as certain individuals navigate that boundary for themselves and try to maintain as long as they can through this pandemic, as people who love them, and you spoke a little already about how this can affect whole families, whole households, as people who love them, what are things we can do to show compassion to what they might be going through?
It really is, like you said, crippling for people. And the least helpful thing to do is to try to convince someone or to fight with someone around really their experience and their feelings. And so I think that compassion piece has to do a lot with just hearing people, validating their experience, maybe not necessarily agreeing with them, and still being able to say, this is what I know, and I know, and but still validating, and I know that's so hard for you.
That was Dr. Cecily Sakai speaking with the conversation Savannah Harriman-Pote about managing health anxiety during this pandemic.